Call to order the regular meeting of the Terre Haute City Council, 6 p.m. Thursday, December 12th. Welcome, and please stand and join us in a moment of silence in the Pledge of Allegiance led tonight by Councilperson Don Morris.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk would call the roll.
Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Councilperson Azar. Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson DeBon.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Here.
Councilperson Morris.
Here.
Councilperson Nassar.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
Eight are present, one is absent.
Thank you. It's our tradition to have up to 30 minutes of common and non-agenda items from the public. We do ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, and tonight I'm going to try to enforce that because we have a really long agenda. So I hope you will cooperate with that. If you do have a comment you want to make, please come to the microphone and state your name and address. Thank you.
Donald Wayne Hyde, 1411 Poplar Street, Terrell, Indiana. I'm going to try and keep it to under 3 minutes, too. But I do have one thing to say to you. This has been a really bad day for me, and yesterday was the most interesting day. I have to go and collect a bunch of stuff from different government agencies so I can fill in some paperwork that everybody has to fill in for the food stamps. And to particularly at 65 now, you've got to fill it out for your medical insurance, not just the insurance, but the fact you're getting state help. Walking, I did a big loop. Didn't mind that because I need the exercise. Anybody over 60 needs to out and walk more. What I found interesting and upsetting was that I was hit almost twice on Wabash Avenue walking in between the lines that are painted on the street. Walking when I had the green light and I stepped off the curb and was able to take two or three steps and somebody just swung around and almost hit me. And I mean, I could touch the car both times I'm talking about here. Now, I'm young, still young. I'm not elderly like my friend who's 90 and 80 and has trouble walking. I'm not sure she could have got out of the way of that car. She'd have been hit. Others that I know would have been hit. That happened right on Wabash Avenue, about 4th Street, 3rd Street. Then I walked up Wabash Avenue going to the post office, and at 13th Street, same thing happened again. This time, it was green light. The guy was coming and turned. I was once hit in a car wreck the same way. The guy never bothered stopping or anything else. He almost hit me even closer than the other guy did. I found that unusual because in my entire life of 65 years, I've never had that happen to me before. Now, this is city council, and your job is to help the police enforce certain laws and regulations. Also, you're supposed to communicate to the public if certain laws or regulations have changed. I thought that the people walking on sidewalks had the right-of-way and the cars were supposed to wait. Now, I've been told by somebody else that they changed that law. I'm not impressed. I don't know that. So, therefore, I'm confused. I don't think I'm alone in this confusion. So I'd like the city council to look into this and find out what's going on. And maybe the mayor and you guys can come up with a way to inform the public of what the law is. Can a car turn directly in front of walking people when they're trying to walk across the street because they're in a hurry? They can't wait a moment and let the guy walk across the street. We're in such a time period now that everything has to be hurried. And everybody else has to hurry with them. I just don't think that's right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public who would like to comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, we'll move forward then. Are any of the corrections of the, any corrections to the journal?
There are none.
We have some communication from the mayor.
Madam President, members of the council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I gave you a little packet that's paper clipped together. I'm going to cover the first three things very quickly here. Wanted to give you a little bit of a financial update on some things. So on the first page there under the financial update, related update for today. The State Board of Accounts audit was completed today. The field portion where they've been here for the last several weeks, a very large crew of folks doing a federal and a state audit on the city of Terre Haute. The exit interview is scheduled for next Tuesday. Most of you should have got an invitation from Patty Mayfield from the State Board of Accounts to be able to attend that if you choose. What will happen next is once they submit after our audit, our interview next week, they will take that back and then their findings will be reviewed by their supervisors, the higher-ups, the folks that typically review those things. And then we'll also have an opportunity to respond to anything that's pointed out in this exit interview. And then the audit should be finalized sometime by the end of January, which means they make it official, they post it, and it becomes our official audit for 2018. So just wanted to give you a brief update on that. It's been a long and drawn-out process, and it's taken all of our resources for a couple of months here. And bullet item number two, our DLGF 1782 notice was received. That's the second, the first document behind this update sheet. You'll find that 1782 notice, notes report, pay 2020. All of our budgets were approved by the state except for the MVH budget. So if you look about halfway down there, you'll see that MVH budget has been decreased because the projected revenues are insufficient to fund the adopted budget. They've determined we're going to get about $87,000 less in revenues than what we thought we were going to get at the time that it was submitted. So out of our entire budget that we've had approved by the city council, and then these funds that are approved by the DLGF, it was $87,000 short to get a full approval on everything, which so I'm extremely happy about that. In February, we will bring an appropriation to you of $87,251 that we will take out of the cash reserves of the MVH fund. And once you approve that, then it will fully fund the MVH fund for 2020. So couldn't be much happier that our budgets were approved other than that $87,000 amount just based on their revenues versus our revenues. Any questions about that? So you've got your official copy there. I also gave you the sanitary district budgets right behind that, and it was approved at the full amount. Okay, just wanted to touch on short-term borrowing just briefly. I appreciate your support of the Redevelopment Commission loan last week. I wasn't able to attend. I had two events last Thursday night, so I apologize, but I appreciate the approval of that. We continue to reduce our short-term borrowing, and we'll talk about the TAW later tonight. I've got a separate handout on that that we'll cover when we get to that part of the agenda. But I just wanted to remind you that since 2017, we've reduced our borrowing by $5 million a year. And so moving into next year with $1 million for the redevelopment loan and the $3 million TAW, we will have gone from 9 to 4 beginning the first part of 2020. So just wanted to reemphasize that we're doing exactly what we said we were going to do in our financial plan, and we're accomplishing those goals. I'll give you updates more about 2021 sometime next year before we get into the budgeting cycle. But right now we just need to finish out this year so I know what the cash balances are for the end of December. Item number four is a ban update on a dissipation note with the county that they purchased a few years ago. You have a new schedule that I've given you, this Excel spreadsheet that runs landscape form. If you remember, the original note was for $6 million. We paid $1 million on that in July of this year. We'll be paying another $500,000 on the last business day of this year. And so the balance as of January 1st will be $3 million. So we will have cut the loan in half, and then we will pay the remainder of that when the time is over the next year and a little over a year to pay out the rest of the $3 million on that bond anticipation note that the county purchased. So you've got a new updated schedule that shows you the interest and the principal payments on that and what's left. The last thing I wanted to touch on was a temporary loan from Sanitary District Operating Fund and Sanitary District Bond Fund, which we'll cover that tonight also. But I wanted to remind you the purpose of that is for us to ensure we get the maximum levy. And so I'll go through that in detail, but I just put some notes together for you that I'll go over in a little bit, but I wanted you to have that in writing to remind you why we have to do that temporary loan from the wastewater treatment plant to the Sanitary District Bond Fund, and I'll cover that in detail and a little bit later this evening. So if there are no questions on any of that, I'll be back.
We I had emailed you about lack of a budget reduction.
Yes. And I didn't mention anything, but I'd be happy to answer that question, Councilman Elliott.
You can answer that now.
Okay. In the past, when we did particularly the general fund, that's primarily where our focus was, in order for us to get our budget approved, which never happened until February or March, we usually didn't get our 1782 notice until February or early March. If we reduce the budget officially, we bring back to you the council in December, and we reduce our underspend. So what we did not spend out of the general fund, if we officially reduce that budget, that helps us to get the next budget approved. It's another piece of the puzzle that would help us. Now that the DLGF is approving the budgets before the end of the year, which I believe that will be how it works from now on out. I talked to the commissioner recently. He said they're going to get it done in late November, early December every year as we move forward, then that doesn't do us any good. And so we won't be bringing any general fund reductions to you in the future. There's just no value in doing that. If we underspend, that cash just stays in the bank, and it doesn't really matter. We don't get any credit or benefit for underspending in the general fund since our budget is balanced. And they're going to approve our budget as we move forward.
Thank you. Yield.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Reports from city officials. I believe Leslie has a report for us.
I passed out the 2019 encumbrance form to you all, and I'll just read through it real quick. In order to have an encumbrance, we have to have a purchase order or a contract available, but for some reason we aren't able to finish the transaction, so it needs to be paid in 2020. So in the general fund, we have the IT department is the only department that has anything. Services contractual for $41,979. That's for the services for the RICO copiers, a contract that he has, and a website that he's working on. Purchase of equipment, that is for $24,039. That's for hardware for the Blue Coat software that we have, but it's hardware that goes with it. And he has some licenses that I guess he's waiting on the invoice, but $33,572 for Blue Coat, VMware, and Mindcast. And then in the edit fund, so a total, I'll go back to the general fund, a total of $99,590 is encumbered into 2020 for the general fund. For the edit fund, we have the demolition of unsafe buildings of $88,794 for the Department of Redevelopment, as well as the facade grant for $70,000, and the Margaret Avenue, $81,657.10. And there are some change orders that are pending, and we probably won't receive those invoices until January or February. And the material and the total for the edit fund, $240,451.10. For the engineering non-reverting fund, we have material testing of $4,418.20, and that goes along with the pending change orders. And the total for all of the funds that we're encumbering is $344,459.30.
Thank you. It's my understanding we don't have to take any action on this, but we do need to receive the report
right
officially. But are there any questions from council for Leslie on this? Thank you very much. Are there any other government official reports?
Madam President, I would just note we have several individuals here from Pyrolex, and Jeff Lind is our local counsel. I would ask if they'd be allowed to come up and provide an update as far as what will be on your agenda in January regarding the current bond.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. I didn't see you come in. We were looking for you. So come on in.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the time. Jeff Lind, Lind Law Firm, here on behalf of Pyrolex. I believe you saw us this summer discussing the second facility in January. Did you approve your calendar for next
yes.
year? January 2nd, is that your first
Correct.
Meeting?
Correct.
January 2nd, and perhaps then on the 9th, you'll hear bond resolution that passed the Terre Haute EDC today asking for approval of a pass-through bond of $70 million for the facility. And I'd like to take the opportunity to turn the mic over to Tom Redd and his staff with an update on how they're doing and then a brief conversation from the bond council so that you kind of see what's coming, and it's not a big surprise. And I understand that the two new members are here and get to hear that also. So, Tom Redd.
Thank you.
Madam President, members of the Council, Thomas Redd, thank you for having me again. I'd like to give you a quick update on our plans for Plant 2, as well as a brief update on where we are in Plant 1, and I've brought Frida Haviland with me as well. She's our HR specialist as well as our recruiter, so she can talk a little bit about hiring and where the folks are coming from that we are hiring. So Plant 2 that you'll see the bond ordinance for in January is really an expansion of our current plant. We're going to be hopefully doubling the capacity of the plant, doing the same process. We will be recycling 4 million tires per year at the first plant and another 4 million tires per year at the second plant if it's built. We also have recently purchased the tire recycler who's operating up in Newport at the old Army Depot, and we have 35 people up there, and that's where the whole tires are accepted, turned into tires, shred, and then brought here to our plant in Terre Haute. So we are currently starting up our first plant. We're actively hiring people, turning machines on. We have shipped a small amount of product, and we'll be doing more so for the rest of December and then into January. So I'd like to introduce Frida Haviland.
Good evening. Well, I'm excited to be here because there's a lot of great things happening in Terre Haute, including Pyrolex. So my role in the company has been to work on our recruiting plan, and we've been very excited to see the enthusiasm of the community. Right now, by the end of the year, we'll have 38 employees. That includes our management staff as well as our hourly associates. And then we anticipate hiring additional 25 to 30 people based upon what our forecast is for production. We've been very blessed with the local workforce has been very responsive, very excited about the business that we do. That's the number one reason that people are applying for work with us is they believe in the environmental aspect, of what Pyrolex is doing. So people are coming in, they've done their research, they know a little bit about our company, and they're excited to be part of a growth opportunity at the ground floor. We've been very fortunate also to be working with the local workforce development team and assisting those employees from some businesses that have been displaced with some of the companies Emory Winslow Scale as well as Colombian Home Products, and over in Putnam County, the Poet Refinery is closing, so we've been able to pick up some employees from those businesses, and they're excited to have opportunities to continue their employment, and we look forward to working further in 2020 with hiring additional staff.
Thank you.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to give you a little bit of heads up of what is going to be in this bond ordinance that would be presented to you sometime in January. Thank you so much for your willingness to get it on the agenda. This afternoon, as Jeff Lind mentioned, the Economic Development Commission approved its bond resolution, which is a precondition for the bond ordinance to go before you. And in this bond ordinance, much like the EDC bond resolution, you're going to repeal almost in whole this bond ordinance that you adopted back in June, which authorized bonds in a principal amount not to exceed $50 million. Since that date, Purelix has determined that the cost of the plant is estimated to be $20 million more. So primary purpose of this bond ordinance is to increase the principal amount of the bonds from $50 to $70 million to cover the additional cost of the project. By the way, I'm Kirk Grable. I'm with the Indianapolis office of Barnes & Thornburg. We're acting as bond counsel on the deal. So we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions at this point?
Madam President?
Yes.
Kurt, to what do you attribute the extra $20 million cost?
It's not a full $20 million cost. We can borrow up to $70 million. We're just making a larger investment into the community and changes to the plant based on our budget that we had back in, I guess that was May, we set that previous budget.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, well,
it's a little unusual, but
yeah.
Any questions from those who will soon take a seat?
You said you have 38 employees.
That's okay. He asked you, but the question was, how many employees do you currently have? And Frieda, you want to answer that?
Certainly. So as of December 31st, we have 38 here in Vigo County, and then our facility in the Newport area, we're about 35 right now. But we'll be growing to continue to meet the demand for the tire shrimp coming into Vigo County to be able to meet that production goal.
You said December 31st. What do you have now?
35, and then I've got three people I'm hiring next week. So it grows every week.
35 in Terre Haute.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Kurt, did you have another
comment? Yes, please. Steve Witt gave me a gentle reminder that these bonds are purely a conduit issue of the city. It is not an indebtedness of the city, not a liability of the city. The sole source of payment is the collateral, revenues, mortgages provided by Purelix on this transaction. So I just want to emphasize that to you. You're a pure pass-through entity here with no liability.
Thank you. Steve is good at gentle reminders.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in January. I have one other thing under government reports. I'd like to ask Don Morris and Karen Nasser to stand, if they would.
We're troubled off.
To stand?
Yes.
Can you help, Don?
Oh, Eddie.
Don't humor him.
As some of you know, this is the last meeting for Don and Karen to be one of our colleagues in this endeavor, and I just want to honor them publicly. And we could have done this at the end of the meeting, but it's going to be a long meeting, and I think you'll all be gone by then, and I thought they should have an audience. Don, I want to especially thank you. I know that my other cohorts who came on 4 years ago feel the same way, that you've been the most gracious person in welcoming us to the council and in working with us. And although we don't always agree on what the outcome should be, it's always done in a very agreeable way with you. And we're going to miss your good, optimistic attitude here at the council. And thank you so much
for
being our colleague for these 4 years. And by the way, so he's served our community for a long time.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that. Karam came on at the same time that I did, and I had two meetings before you arrived. But we sort of stumbled through life together here in those first few months, along with Curtis and Earl. But Karam has always been a really active part of our council, always reminding a lot of us of things we need to look at and finding out information for us. And he will also be missed as our colleague here. But I've been talking to him just the last 2 weeks about things that he and his daughter are doing in the community. And I know we're going to hear a lot from Karam in our community over the next few years, even though we won't see him every Thursday night here. But you could both are welcome back anytime you want to be. Karam, thanks so much. Okay, that was the fun part, folks. Yes, any comments from...
I have one more item to comment on.
Oh, okay. We have another government official report, which I didn't realize. I'm sorry, Earl. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share with council the unemployment report numbers that came out for October. For our six-county region, the unemployment rate was 3.5. For Vigil County, 3.7. For the city, 4.2. For Indiana, 3.2. And for the United States, 3.6. For the county, it was 4.3 a year ago that month, so it's a 6/10 drop. And for the city, it was 4.7, so that's a half a percentage point drop. So those items are all trending in the right direction and fairly consistently with everybody else. So.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move forward there. Any reports from the Board of Public Works?
I did not receive any.
From standing committees?
I don't know of any.
From non-standing committees?
I do not know of any.
I don't believe we have any items previously tabled or any tax abatements?
That's correct.
Okay. Items on second reading.
General Ordinance 6, 2019, amending City Code, Chapter 4, Article 20, Section 4-290, and Chapter 6, Article 4, Section 6-69 and 6-75, and creating Chapter 6, Article 6-72.1 and 6-82, harboring chickens. You have a proposed amendment before you.
We had this before us last week as well, and Todd spoke to it at that time. I don't know, Todd, do you want to say anything further tonight?
Not now.
Okay. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak? This, by the way, is the ordinance which would allow for licensing of owning and raising chickens in the city limits. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
Thank you, Madam President. Fellow members of the council, Mr. Mayor. I'll keep this short. Two things. Again, thank you very much for looking at this issue. And two, Councilman Nation, I went back and read it almost word for word. And thank you for reminding me to do so. I appreciate your support in this. Although you don't see a lot of people here in support of this, you know, it's hard to come out and say, you don't let me keep my chickens without opening yourself up to maybe being illegally having chickens currently. So I can tell you there's support for the community. Any questions, I'd be happy to answer at this time. If not, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who'd like to speak on this ordinance?
It'll be real quick. One of the few things that I've seen this city council do, that answers most of the questions and problems. With that said, I still support having the people, if they choose to and will follow the rules, raise their own chickens as long as there's not too many of them and they do a good job of what they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Council?
Madam President, there was just a couple things after last week's discussion, and so we're talking to Mr. Felling and Molly in City Legal. I just asked for a couple different things to be changed, or amended, I should say, to be brought to us. One of them is under Section 6-72.1, letter E. It's just no license shall be issued to address compromising less than 4,800 square feet, which basically that just goes off the average lot size in the city. An average lot size in the city is 40 by 120. That just, with half lots that we have in the city and everything else, that just kind of puts a lot size in there. The other change in the amendment I had was under 6-82, number 13. And that was changing, I believe it was, the original was a 4-foot fence and change it to a 6-foot fence. So those are just two things that, with people that I had coming to me on their concerns, and so I went ahead and had legal drop an amendment, and I'm open to any suggestions. I mean, I know we're still in the workings of all this, and those were just two of the things I had brought to me.
Okay.
I yield.
Madam President.
Councilman
Amy, I'm sorry I didn't catch what the average lot size in the city is.
40 by 120.
40 by 120.
Mm-hmm. There are some 38 by 120s, but on the average, when we checked, the average lots in the town are 40 by 120.
So by choosing the average, you're saying that half of the lots in the city are ineligible to do this?
May I clarify? It's not an Please. Average lot size. It's a normal city lot size.
Yeah.
So
okay.
normal yes. city lots, when they were broken up originally, would not have been smaller than that. You have some elongated city lots that are bigger than that, but the normal ones, the normal city lot size would be the 120 by 40.
Do we have a sense of how many are smaller?
I am not aware. To be frank with you, looking at, I use Beacon as a tool when we're looking at this, and I think an individual will be pretty hard-pressed on a lot smaller than that to even be able to meet these other requirements that are in are part of the requirements as far as being a certain distance from the house and property lines.
Yeah. I don't question the need for a minimum lot size. I'm just curious where the actual number came from and how, you know, restrictive it really is. But I'll defer to your good judgment. And on the fence size, or height, rather, you know, I was prepared to propose to just take that out altogether so that the fence wasn't a barrier to being able to do this rather than raise it. Amy, I would support the average lot size if I can propose to not go forward with to just remove the fence requirement altogether. And anything else, as far as I'm concerned, we've reached a level of consensus on within the committee.
What was the number, Amy, on the fence size again?
It was a 4 foot.
I know, but what was the section number?
It was number 13 under 6-82.
Okay, thank you.
And on the lot size, just to touch, just to touch on the lot size, with working around in my previous experience with working with lots in the city and assessing and different things, you'd be surprised on how many lots that are half lots with, or side lots that have been cut sideways, and there's some odd shaped lots. So that just kind of, you know. It still has the square feet in there, so if it is an odd-shaped lot, but they still qualify with the square feet, that still covers them where it's not saying it's just a 40 by 120 lot. It goes by the square feet.
Thanks.
I was just pointing out that the 4,800 square feet was equivalent to an average lot. I yield.
Madam President?
Yes.
If there's no other questions or comments, I make a motion we approve the amended General Ordinance 6-2019, as amended.
Second.
Discussion.
It's been moved and amended, but that the amendment be adopted by Councilperson Nassar and Councilwoman Aller, but there has been a request for discussion.
Yeah, Todd's going to let me go first. I didn't say anything last time we met. I wanted to reach out to the folks that I represent in District 5. And some throughout the city. So I've been making phone calls, sending some emails, doing some Facebook messaging to get some feedback on chickens allowed in the city. We also, the committee, I guess in this group, councilperson or council president Crossan was here, and Nation, and Mr. DeBon, and I was able to get to one of those. I think he had two. Went to the first one, not the second one. I think they did a good job in organizing information and trying to craft this ordinance. I think they did a really good job based on the information they could gather. But I think it was important for me just to find out, are people for chickens in the city or not? I did a survey a little bit less than 50. I think 42 of those were, thank you. 42 of those was from District 5, and that district includes the avenues, 12 points, and the Collet Park area. I reached out to specifically voters in that area and homeowners. I thought that was probably most important to reach out to them. The concerns that I got, in order of importance, the first one was smell, seemed to be the issue. Second was compliance and enforcement issues was a concern. Neighbors was third. And the issue with the neighbors, I think most people that I talked to thought that if they had chickens, they would do a great job, but they were always concerned. They always had one neighbor that they were worried about that wouldn't be. And the fourth, I would say, were the risk of roosters in the city, and I didn't think that would be an issue, but we did hear, I think, at one of the committee meetings that when the chickens are bought in groups of six, sometimes it's difficult to tell the sex of the chicks. I keep looking at Don, I don't know why. But it's tough when they're young to know the sex of the chicks, and I think they said where they come from, sometimes those who are putting those together can't really tell, so there's a chance that there will be some in the city. Now, I know some things were taken care of on how that could be dealt with, which I think would be good. But anyway, out of the votes, I had a number of votes, 42 total. A few of them were city, overall city, but majority of those were District 5. They were all no votes. There were three that were indifferent. They didn't really care one way or another. And then when there were three that were yes. So that was the information I got from District 5. I didn't know if we were going to vote on this tonight. I was just going to continue to accumulate more information. But that's the pattern that's developing from my area of the city.
I was going to ask that Richard be recognized. He seemed to have something to say.
Yeah, Richard, you want to comment?
This is more of a question for City Legal. But, with some of these lot size requirements, fencing, even number of hens, would these be eligible to go through the BZA? I mean, if a landowner was, or a urban farmer, was truly serious about this and wanted to be totally compliant, could they file for a BZA? For a variance on these requirements. The beauty about that system is their neighbors would be notified of said variance and would have an opportunity to show objection.
It's a permitting process. It's not necessarily a zoning issue. So I don't see how a variance would apply in this situation.
Even though the requirement is you have to live in a residential area for...
It's making for a specific allowance to have... to purchase the permit if you live in an R1 or an R2 zoning classification. But it's not part of the building code or zoning ordinance. Yeah. Nothing to do with...
Okay, I was just curious. That would get around the lot size, maybe fence size, and variance. But thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Councilman.
Call the question, please.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, we have amendment, the amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. I had no.
You had no. Two no's on the amendment? Neil and Don.
Madam President?
Yes.
If there's no further discussion, I move for approval of the amended version of General Ordinance 6, 2019.
Second. It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Aller that we approve amended Special Ordinance 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
There are two no's, Don Morris and Neil Garrison. It is approved.
Thank you.
Next order of business.
Special Ordinance 43, 2019, rezoning of property located at 2400 and 2401 3rd Avenue. Area planning gave a favorable with conditions recommendation. There may be a proposed amendment Did someone bring copies of the proposed amendment? Yeah. Michelle, did you get one?
There's on your table.
I've got the next one.
Yeah. Madam President, members of the council, my name is Richard Shagley. I'm with Wright, Shagley, and Lowry, and tonight I'm here representing petitioners, the Nassar family. They own a series of lots in this area, and they're in the process of selling these lots. And these two particular lots are currently zoned R1 plan development. They're asking them to be rezoned to a R1 plan development, but for the specific use of a plumbing business. Before you is an amended ordinance. The changes, in said ordinance is one, I spelled business wrong, which I apologize for. Two, we change it from, originally they had requested a rezoning from R1 plan development to a C2 plan development. We switched that from a R1 plan development to back to an R1 plan development for the specific use of the plumbing business. This was more, as you know, if this doesn't continue in the plumbing business, it'll revert back to the R1 as opposed to the C2, because this is a, and this goes to the hardship in this matter. This is a mixed use area. You're right on the border. You got the 25th. You've got a little bit of everything everywhere in this area, so it's a little difficult. Plus, these two particular lots have buildings on that were commercial. Buildings. These were not residential buildings. So to ensure a little more protection for the neighbors and through some a suggestion from City Legal, we are in front of you with an amendment and we're changing it from a C2 plan development to an R1 plan development. And then, as I said, the change in business. And then we clarified the hardship, and then we also clarified the request for the variances in the off-street parking and the setbacks. Currently, these buildings are, it'd be difficult for these current buildings to, they would not be compliant with the setbacks in our residential area based on averages of the setbacks. So we're asking for a zero setback because that's currently what they are. And as far as the off-street parking, you know, it's based upon in residential bed space, and there's no beds, so we're just asking for the off-street parking to be waived. With this being a plumbing business, we don't anticipate parking to be an issue for the simple fact that, as you are all probably aware, none of us have stopped by a plumbing store or, you know, a plumbing business. They generally come to you, and that's what this one will be. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on Special Ordinance 43, 2019?
Yes, having lived here all my life, I know these two buildings. I am more than happy to see something done with those buildings, and I agree, if you're going to, you're not going to go and shop for plumbing supplies, a plumbing store that does the work. You're going to go there, and they're going to come to your house, so parking wouldn't be a problem. Thank you.
Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
I move that we amend Special Ordinance 43-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Garrison and seconded by Councilperson Morris that we amend Special Ordinance 43-2019 as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so amended.
Madam President, I move that we approve Ordinance 43-2019 as amended.
Second.
It has been moved by Councilperson Garrison and seconded by Councilperson Morris that we approve amended Special Ordinance 43-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you very much. Madam President, if I may have just a minute, I'd like to thank Councilman Nassar and Councilman Morris for their time on the council. I've enjoyed working with you in this process, and I appreciate what you've done and your willingness to look at the issues and review them. And thank you for your time on the council. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to all of you.
Happy Christmas. Next item of business. We have before us, just a reminder, we have before us a series, I'm sorry, Michelle, to interrupt you, of appropriations, and just a reminder that 27 and 29, we will need a vote to vote on. I think that I'm correct on that. And 31 and 32.
Madam President.
Yes.
If I may, I'd like to make a motion now that we act tonight on appropriations 27 through 29 and appropriations 31 through 32.
Second.
It has been moved by Councilperson DeBond and seconded by Councilperson Aller that we vote to vote on appropriations 27 through 29 and 31 and 32 this evening. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? It is approved. Next item of business.
Appropriation 27-2019, $12,000 from EMS Laundry Uniform Fire number 02700027004140010, TMS Medical Supplies number 02700027024290020.
Petitioner.
Madam President, members of the Council, Jeff Fisher, Fire Chief. This appropriation is going into our medical supplies. I think I've reported in years past how our emergency runs have continued to increase over the years. They are not going down. And in order to, and with 87-88% of our runs being EMS-based, we need to continue to have the supplies to do our job. And that is the reason for this appropriation. Laundering uniforms, we had a few extra dollars in there, and that seemed like the right place to transfer that from. It stays within the EMS budget. Be more than happy to answer any questions.
Anyone from the public would like to make a comment on appropriation 27? Council?
Madam President,
yes.
There's no other questions or comments. I make a motion we approve appropriation 27-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson DeBond that we approve appropriation 27-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is approved. Next item of business.
Appropriation 28-2019, $90,000 from EMS 02700027003460010, TMS Services Contractual Number 432010.
Madam President, members of Council, Jeff Fisher, Fire Chief. I could say ditto, but I don't think I'd get off that easy. But this is also a transfer into our service contractual. Although it's you know, we put together a budget every year, it's hard to guess what we're going to have to spend, especially when it comes to this line item. We had several unforeseen expenses throughout the year with this line item. Just for example, we had our contract negotiations. We got a bill late from the attorney, so that was an outstanding bill we had to pay for this year. And then we tried to reduce our costs on some of our repairs. We entered into a service agreement with a company called Stryker Sales. They repair our cots on our ambulances. Although this is a one-time fee of close to $40,000, it saves us a return visit cost from the salespeople. And it's a five-year agreement, and we think this is going to be a cost savings over the years. As you know, we've had some large structure fires this year where we had to call out some excavating companies to help make the buildings safe for our firefighters and our investigators. So these are some costs that we try to budget for, but sometimes we can't get them all, and that's the reason for this transfer. And again, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public who wants to comment on Appropriation 28? Council? Yes, sir.
Question. Jeff, Chief, I don't understand how this is a transfer, because that account 346 is the ambulance fee revenue account.
Right. I'd have to defer to the...
It's an appropriation.
Yes, it actually is an appropriation. That's true. I might have said transfer, but it's actually appropriation. But in order for that process to be done, I'd have to defer to the City Controller.
Thank you.
Anyone else in council?
Okay.
Jeff, I had a question. The example you used of the service contract with Stryker, I think
yes.
Was the name of the company. Is, and I think you said $40,000?
Close to 40,000, just under 40,000.
Is that every year or is
no,
the
that's a one-time.
Okay.
That's a one, it's a five-year contract.
Okay, thank you.
For them to come out each time, it's $300 an hour.
Okay. Madam President?
Yes.
For no other questions, I move for approval of Appropriation 28-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Garrison and seconded by Councilperson Morris that we approve Appropriation 28-2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is approved.
Thank you.
Next item of business.
Appropriation 29-2019, $57,000 from Motor Vehicle Highway number 02010018 to regular hourly employees number 412103.
Madam President, members of the Council, I'm Leslie Ellis, the City Controller. Appropriation 29 is to increase the regular hourly employees line item for the MVH Motor Vehicle Highway Fund for the Street Department. I did a review and that line item has remained the same since the 2015 budget. It's just never been increased. We have a new street superintendent. He didn't actually prepare this budget. Line item had not been adjusted. It also accounts for the 1% raise that the employees received in 2019, and they also received a 3% increase on top of that 1%, if I'm correct, Mr. Felling, in order to decrease our portion of the insurance premium. In other words, the employees paid an extra 10% of their insurance premium. So in order to do to get the agreement, we gave them 3% for 1 year. Is that right? I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there any member of the public who would like to comment on Appropriation 29?
For once, you're talking about something I care about. I have spoken the entire year about the streets and the road repair in this community. Anything that can be done to improve those conditions, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
I move for approval of Appropriation 29-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Garrison and seconded by Councilperson Morris that we approve Appropriation 29-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Next item of business.
Appropriation 31-2019, $615,000 from Waste and Refuse number 0625 to Services Contractual number 432010.
Madam President, members of the Council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I'll handle this one. The reason for this appropriation to increase the line item for spending in the solid waste fund, our waste and refuse fund, we have, we bring in revenues to the trash fee, and then we pay out the Republic contract. That's the only two things that come in and out of that fund. Last year, there were several months at the end of the year that were not posted until after the first of this year. So we had several months at the end of last year that did not get posted into this account. They stayed in the wastewater fund. And so we got those posted. And then with the additional revenue we've received this year from liens in our first round, we're also going to get some more liens in this next distribution of property tax dollars. And then we've had two increases. We had one a year ago in July and then one this past July of a quarter per household. So we've had increased revenue. So the bottom line is, we want to increase the ability to spend money out of the Waste and Refuse Fund instead of, we don't take in enough to cover the whole expense. It's about $2.9 million a year to pay Republic for the trash pickup. And we collect, in the past, we've been collecting about $2.2, $2.3 million. We have some excess revenue in that fund. So instead of spending the difference of roughly $600,000 out of the edit services contractual line item or the Board of Public Works contractual services line item that we do every year, we can cover it with actual trash fees for this year. We're not going to be able to do that forever because of the extra revenues we've had because we pulled some in from the previous year. And then, once we kind of get caught up on these late ones through the liens, then that'll kind of die back down. Those were some that were in the backlog. So we're asking you to increase the line item. We're still going to spend the same amount of money out of the entire budget, but we're going to spend more out of this budget versus taking money out of those other two budgets that I've mentioned.
there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Appropriation 31? Council?
Madam President.
Yes.
So, Mayor, if I followed your explanation, the trash fee that is being collected is still just going to pay for the trash contract.
This year. We'll be able to pay for all 12 months with trash fees. Next year, it'll probably swing back. We'll probably be able to cover maybe 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. So okay. We'll have to use some funds in the future. We'll continue to budget those funds. We just won't spend them unless we need them. In Board of Public Works or Edit Contractual Services. That's where we get them from, is those two funds. They cover the difference that we can't cover with the trash fee.
Okay. I remember using extra money above and beyond the trash fee to make up the total amount of contract.
We've done that before. Yeah. This year we won't have to.
Okay. And the money that we're transferring, this $615,000, just to be clear, what specifically will it be spent on?
The Republic Services contract.
Okay. Thank you. I yield.
How difficult is it to make this transfer every month?
When we're fully staffed, it won't be very difficult at all.
How long does it take to make that calculation and move money from 620 to 625? I can't believe it takes very long.
Well, it's not that as much. When we previously, the assistant controller who left, at the end of last year, did all that work. And we've had to shift those duties to some other people that don't have that kind of expertise. They're getting that now. They're posting all of the revenues for all of the funds. So it's been a bit of a learning curve for everybody in the controller's office. So we're bringing on two new staff in January. These folks that we have now are able to do that, train the new staff to do some additional things. We should be able to do it much faster.
It bothers me that we would overstate the balance in 620. Because that's one of our most watched funds.
Right.
I mean, I've gotten in trouble in this group by doing things or talking about things that the SRF might not like, and then I said, well, Bill, that's not good, Earl. So that's one I'd like for us to keep as accurate as we can.
Yes.
620, which means we've got to get the money out of there and get it to 625.
TPI, who does our collections with the trash and the sewage, usually around the 20th of the month, I can go on the website, and they've got it broken out for the previous month. So, like for December, I could go in there maybe around December 20th and see the allocation between trash and the sewage payments. And so the plan is, once we get everyone trained in my office, hired and trained, that at the end of the month we'll be doing those transfers from now on.
That would be good. Thank
yes,
you.
That's the plan. Thank you.
What is the status of getting everyone hired and trained?
We're interviewing.
We hope to bring them on next month.
Madam President, if there's no other questions or comments, I make a motion we approve Appropriation 31, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Elliott that we approve Appropriation 31, 2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is approved. Next item of business.
Appropriation 32, 2019, $86,000 from transit number 0621-0062 to purchase of vehicles transit number 444-080.
Madam President, members of the Council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I'll handle this one also. This is a pretty simple one. What probably should have happened, we should have budgeted $170,000 for purchase of vehicles, and we did not. We budgeted $60,000. Because we were reimbursed for the purchase of the buses at 80%. So what happened was we spent $167,000 to buy three buses. We received $133,000 back from the feds. And so our actual cost was a little over $33,000. So that's really what we spent out of that $60,000 line item was $33,000. So we came in under budget if you look at it from that perspective. But the problem is we spent $167,000, so now that line item is over budget. It should have been budgeted a higher number, and then we could have budgeted the grant money up in the revenue section. So we have an increased amount of revenues coming in, $133,000, it was not budgeted, and our expenses are less than the $60,000. So at the end of the day, we spent $33,000 to buy three buses, but we need to increase this line item so that when we get audited for this year, we have not exceeded the expenditures in that line item because we can't move those revenues down to it. So it's really pretty harmless. It's just we should have budgeted a higher number. And the bottom line would have still been the same had we done that. And if you do this tonight, the bottom line will still be the same. We've just increased that line item. The expenditure will be $33,000.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Appropriation 32?
First of all, I do not have a degree in mathematics or anything else, just common sense. The common sense is this. If you budgeted and got it passed, Mayor, for three buses, and you've got all your federal money come in, and all of a sudden you're left with a little bit more money, why don't you buy another bus and figure out a way to spend the taxpayer money on what we actually need instead of playing, I don't know what you're playing with to get money. Thank you.
We'd originally planned to buy one bus. We got the opportunity to buy three buses. It's strictly up to the federal government on how much grant money they have available to us, and we don't know that. We knew we were going to be able to get one bus. We'd had that conversation the previous year, but we had the opportunity to get three, so we bought three for $33,000. And we'll do that every time that we possibly can. It just, you don't know that when you put the budget together. You could put it in there and not spend it, I suppose, but we thought we were only going to buy one at the time we put the budget together. Things change.
Any questions from council? Comments?
Madam President?
Yes.
If there's no further discussion, I move for approval of appropriation number 32, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Garrison that we approve appropriation number 32. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Next item of business.
Special Ordinance 45, 2019, authorizing a tax anticipation warrant loan.
Madam President, members of the council, Mayor Duke Bennett. On the, I'm looking for my last sheet, my handout that I gave you guys. Last that stack that we talked about earlier. It's the last sheet that says 2020 TAW loan executive summary dated today. Just as a reminder, the tax anticipation warrant for 2019 was $3.5 million. We made an early principal payment on that in November, the end of November. So we currently have a $3 million outstanding balance that will be due at the end of this month. Special Ordinance 45 that was just read is requesting a $3 million tax anticipation warrant for 2020. It's obviously a $500,000 less than the current year's TAW. And I just, you know, I put some notes in here to remind you what that's for, but it's primarily to provide cash flow throughout the year since we won't receive any additional funds. Again, after we get this disbursement in December until June of next year, and so that's the purpose of a tax anticipation warrant. We've presented this to you this year to go through the Indiana Bond Bank. That requires us to do an approval in December in order to use the Indiana Bond Bank. Their loans are at prime and with no origination fees. And while our local banks have been tremendous players and with us the last few years, it's about 0.75% more expensive to borrow that money versus Indiana Bond Bank. And so we thought it would be better for us to reduce those expenses. And we're reducing the TAW, which is going to reduce the interest and origination fees. But this will allow us to use the state bond bank, which is good for us in other reasons, other areas that we're working in with the state. And it'll save us about 0.75% of interest. If the council approves this tonight, then it will close roughly the last business day of January. That's when they close all of their tax anticipation warrants for the year. So we'd receive our money there at the end of the month. We would plan to make an early principal payment in July or sometime thereafter, depending on cash flows next year, to reduce that interest even more. Wanted to remind you of our overall temporary loans, kind of something I touched on earlier. In 2017, we had $9 million worth of short-term borrowing, $4 million in a TAW and $5 million in redevelopment. Next year, we're asking for $3 million in a TAW and $1 million in redevelopment. So we've reduced our borrowing by $5 million over the last 3 years. I would like for all you to keep in mind, though, as we move forward, the goal is to eliminate the TAW. We want to completely get rid of it. So I can't tell you standing here today what the next reduction will be for 2021 quite yet. We'll get there in a few months. I'll know what it's going to be once I see what the end of this year's cash balances are and kind of some things that are happening next year when how things time out of what we think we're going to have to spend next year that may or may not float into 2021. But we should keep on the table a potential of a redevelopment loan in lieu of a TAW as we get smaller, only because there's large cash balances in redevelopment. We want to eliminate the TAW, so all I want to do is just remind you that as long as we're not affecting anything in redevelopment, let's consider that for 2021. For now, we want to move forward with the TAW, and the last week you approved the redevelopment loan. That's what we'll need to put us in a position to make sure we pay all the bills on time, all of our projects stay on schedule, and it'll close those gaps of time when revenues are not coming in those six-month windows.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Special Ordinance 45? Council? Mr. Nasser?
Mayor, if we're using the Indiana Bond Bank, what's changed from this year compared to previous years?
The timing. In the past, we tried to wait till January or February to borrow the money in order to reduce our interest costs. But it was a higher interest rate.
I mean, I know people have talked about our, you know, bond rating and so forth. Does this mean that our bond rate's improved, or is it still the same?
Well, the state of Indiana believes we're in a much improved shape. Okay. We haven't had a bond update because we haven't borrowed any money for several years. The next time that we have to bond out, our bond rating should go up, but right now we're not. They use different criteria. They don't look at bond ratings. They look at our finances. Okay. They have access to our data.
Okay. I yield.
We can prepay on these. Now, according to the document, you have to have their express written consent.
Yeah, we have, but we believe we can get that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty confident, but it's up to them. It's like the SRF, you know. They have to almost approve everything you want to do.
Okay.
I'm not concerned about that. I think we'll be okay.
We'll take the draw in January, which is...
Yes.
Is that earlier than we really need?
About a month early.
Okay.
We've been doing it in February. We'll still come out ahead, but hopefully we can do better than that.
Of a percent.
Yeah.
The math makes sense to me, but I just saw that.
Yep. I read it, too, and I tried to get a hold of our attorney today to clarify again, but I wasn't able to reach him, but I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to do that. We'll get that permission.
Okay. I yield.
Mr. Nation?
Mayor Bennett, I appreciate your walking us through our reductions in borrowing between redevelopment and tax anticipation warrants over the last 3-4 years. That's great. I'd like to see all of this borrowing go away eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's my question. How long until we won't need to borrow anything from the Department of Redevelopment?
Well, we're going to pay that off in June, and we'll know then if we need to extend that to the end of the year or not. Right now, it's set to be paid off in June, $1 million.
I guess
it's a six-month loan.
I guess what I'm really asking is...
what happens next?
In your comments, you took us through 2021 and seemed to be laying the groundwork for more borrowing from redevelopment. And, we clearly have a plan to get... Well, we had a plan a few years ago to get to the point where we are now. If our goal is to be not borrowing money from the Department of Redevelopment, how long until we should expect to meet that goal?
Well, I guess that's not necessarily my goal. My goal is to reduce borrowing, period. But if we reduce the TAW borrowing first, then it doesn't cost us anything to borrow. as an example, I apologize, I was going to get updated cash balances or projected cash balances for the redevelopment funds this afternoon, but I simply ran out of time. My guess is roughly there's probably $11 or $12 million sitting in the bank at the end of this month in redevelopment, and we're borrowing $1 million of that. That's with us borrowing $1 million. So it would be $12 or $13 million just sitting in bank accounts. If we continue to maintain those level of cash balances, then maybe we should consider doing a bigger reduction in the TAW for 1 year and then maybe eliminating that the following year and just borrowing a little bit more temporarily till it goes to zero. I'm just planting the seed that I think that's a better use of taxpayer funds if we have to do this, and that's all I'm saying. We don't want to jeopardize anything in redevelopment. They just have extra cash, and cash is going to continue to increase, especially in the 46 area.
It will continue to increase in the State Road 46 TIF, too. And from my years of experience and talking to Steve Witt about how they finance projects and do projects and undertake things, one of the things that he says, and I'm sure he says these things to my fellow councilmen, too, if you ask him about it, is that they like to save up and have and be able to pay cash for, you know, some level of what they do. I would suspect that that informs why they have so much money sitting around in the bank. My goal, and I can only speak for myself in this, is for this council to, well, this government, to not need to borrow at all, to have sufficient cash balances, to not have an asterisk next to not needing to borrow except for redevelopment, to have to be able to say straight up, we're just not going to borrow from either tax anticipation warrants where we incur interest costs or redevelopment where we don't. I'm sure that doesn't come as a surprise to you.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. So it's just we're not there yet. And so this was the first year that we got some new revenue, you know, from the public safety lit. So that helps us to the tune of $2 million a year. But we haven't really had much else of an increase. I mean, our property taxes, we were hoping they were going to go up. They creeped up just a tiny bit. And so we're not progressing like I was hoping because our property tax dollars are not increasing like they should. If that would happen, we could get there much faster.
Right.
Now, with the potential of revenue from the casino, that's a different conversation. So I think we can get there much quicker. Don't want to use that to plug any budget holes, but it sure puts cash in the bank that we don't have to do any borrowing. And we can still do what we need to do to deliver services and do projects. So we're about 2 years away from that one.
Okay, so there it is, 2 years.
Yep. Thank you. You know, that's what I think is about 2 years to be totally gone. I'm hoping that's the case.
Okay, thanks.
Mr.
Elliott. Yeah, Councilman Nation, to kind of try to address your concern, I've had a lot of those same thoughts. Back when we got the comprehensive financial plan last fall, you know, it was handed to us and we had, you know, a relatively short discussion. We really haven't come back and gone through that in any detail. I've gone through it in detail, but concluded probably until we get through 18 and we see how, I'm sorry, through 19 and we see how the 19 numbers shake out and the balances are, it really wouldn't do us, you know, much good. But in the spring, I intend to come back with that document with some penciled in changes for some of the 2019 activity, and that's part of our discussion is, you know, what are reasonable targets for the cash balances that will allow for the elimination of borrowing.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I yield.
Also, how does the payment of the ban fit into this?
The ban payments strictly come out of the wastewater treatment operating fund. This comes out of the general fund.
Okay. This is a little.
So they're two separate funds.
I do understand that, but I think I should have asked this question earlier when you were up there, and I didn't. So I'm going to ask you now.
Okay.
So
what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the ban update that you gave
okay.
us.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yep.
And in there, you say the balance as of January 1st will be $3 million. What is the plan for paying that off past January 1st?
Which it's on there, 7-1 of 20, 1.5 million, and 1-1 of 21, 1.5 million. The last two columns.
I'm sorry.
There's another schedule.
I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
It's on there. Okay. But it may end up being something a little different than that, but that's where we have to get in that same time frame.
Okay.
We may make some smaller payments along the way, too, that'll save us some interest. We'll see. But okay. We'll have to make those payments.
Okay.
That's when interest is due. That's when the set payments are made in July and January.
I apologize. I missed the other document. Thank you.
And those are separate funds, not commingled, totally different bank accounts, different banks. Just clarification.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President, there's no other questions. I make a motion that we take action on Special Ordinance 45-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar, seconded by Councilperson Morris, that we vote to vote on Special Ordinance 45-2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
There was one no.
That's right.
For the clerk, and that was Mr. Nation.
Thank you.
That was just a vote to vote, so.
So we can't take action.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the vote to vote?
Yes.
Can I rescind my vote?
Yes.
I rescind my vote.
Okay. So we do have a unanimous vote to vote. Okay. Thank you.
Madam President.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I make a motion we approve Special Ordinance 45-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Elliott that we approve Special Ordinance 45-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Or no, whatever. That's all I wanted to do.
It is so approved with Mr.
I want to stop it.
Next item of business.
Resolution 18-2019, transfer of $400,000 from the Controller Department, IT Department, Engineering Department to the Terre Haute Fire Department.
Petitioner.
Madam President, Jeff, Council Members, Jeff Fisher, Fire Chief, if I may approach.
That's true, he's dead.
I seen you walking through, and I thought I seen this, so you made copies?
Sorry.
Okay. Overtime. The handout I gave you, President Crossan emailed me a few days ago, might have been the first of the week, with some questions about the overtime. So, you know, we go through this every year when I do an appropriation. I know this is a resolution, and I don't want to mix words. Every time I do an appropriation or resolution on overtime, we have a discussion on that. The first part at the top there, and President Crossan, I know in my email to you, it said 2008-19. This is actually 2010-19. So I didn't want to cause any confusion there.
No,
but it shows my budgeted overtime, the additional, and then what I actually spent from 2010-2019. As you can see, we had a couple years there where 2010 it was just over $657,000. We had a good year in 2017 where it was under $500,000, $496,000. We actually come in under the budgeted amount. Unfortunately, this year, we went over that $1 million mark. I know when we talk about $1 million in budgeting, especially when it comes overtime, people have questions and raise eyebrows. That's why I got a call from Alex earlier in the week, and he wants to do a story on this. But anyway, it is what it is. I have to pay to fill the fire trucks and the ambulances and the ladder trucks. We cannot close the fire station. We cannot close the fire apparatus. As I stated earlier, our runs continue to go up. This year, we had several people retire. Councilman Nassar and I spoke several years ago about what it takes to hire a firefighter. We was comparing a restaurant worker to a firefighter. It takes 6 months to train a firefighter to get them ready to come into the house. So while they're still in training, they're not numbered on an apparatus. They're in training. So I still have to fill that position. I asked my EMS chief, Robert Eberhardt, to put these graphs together for you. I think he does a very good job at it. First one there, it just shows the creating the shift work, what it takes to fill a shift. The second graph was the total hours. The first one is shifts, the second one is hours. And then the last one is the backfill, basically people off work. We've had several people that were off sick. We had people were off injured. We had a firefighter, a female firefighter had a baby, so she was off. We had family members that were injured, and our firefighters had to take sick time to be with their family members. I hate using the term the bottom line is, but it is just that. We have to fill our numbers, and it takes, and we run out of money in our overtime. We try to trim it as much as we can, but I do not have a crystal ball. I don't know what it's going to take to budget. I would love to budget my overtime $1 million every year, but we're not going to do that. If we don't spend it, it goes right back to the general fund. But $1.2 million is what we're going to spend this year. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on special ordinance, Resolution 18?
Yes, Donald Hyde. Again, not big on math other than basic math. I would like the fire chief to tell me, and I don't mean this negatively, I mean this factually. If this year you've had to pay much more overtime, is one of the reasons why you went to more fires than you have in the last year? Could you please answer that? Tell me about it.
I would not say we paid more overtime because we had more fires. I'm saying we paid overtime because our firefighters were off for whatever reason. Maybe it is because we had more fires and it's a bigger chance for our firefighters to get hurt or sick. More fires? No. Injuries? Yes.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to... We put Jeff in a little bit of a spot, too. Obviously, the staffing is the staffing. We have to do that based on NFPA and OSHA. We have to man 3 and 4 and 2 on the ambulances. But this year, his budget is different. So we took away Series 2, 3, and 4 from the Fire Department General Fund. The only thing that's in the General Fund now for the Fire Department is salaries and benefits. In the past, he was able to go down and move money from 2, 3, and 4 and bring that to you within the same budget, within the general fund, to do that. He can't do that anymore. He's pretty locked in on his budget. He doesn't have the flexibility he's had in the past. We've kind of taken that away from him. And so now what we have to do is take money from other parts of the general fund and not from the fire department to cover it. This is the first time that I'm aware of that we've had to borrow or take money, transfer it from another area that was unspent, and move it to the fire department for overtime. They've always been able to do it within their own budget. So once again, the bottom line spending for the general fund is not going to exceed what's been budgeted. We're just moving unspent funds from other areas of our general fund budget over to cover the overtime for the fire department. I just wanted to clarify that because we've put Jeff in a bit of a spot because he doesn't have that flexibility.
You mean it won't be over what the general fund was budgeted,
exactly,
not what the fire
right
salary line was budgeted.
Yep.
Thank you.
Council, Mr. Massey.
First off, Jeff, I want to make it clear that I don't compare restaurant workers to firemen and women, okay?
Right, right.
So let me make that
perfectly
clear.
We had
clear,
a good conversation
okay?
several years ago.
I don't
ago
want to be that guy that thinks that somebody can work at a restaurant and be a fireman. I had a couple questions. Believe it or not, I got more questions about this, and I'm sure it was because of the article that was in the paper this week. I got more about this than I did about the chicken ordinance. Couple things. One, why do we pay and take care of the paramedic classes? I know, you know, that's when people are firemen and firewomen that they are also going to be paramedics. But why is that something that we pay to train to do? Why isn't that a prerequisite for someone to have that class before they are hired?
Some firefighters we hire are paramedics, but that is a discussion we've had many, many times with members of my staff and people of the public. We want our people to be trained to the best of their ability to give the citizens of Terre Haute the top quality care. When we train our paramedics, we train our firefighters to be EMTs and paramedics. We know what schooling they get. We know where they're going. We send them to Ivy Tech, and we send them to Bloomington to a school down there also. And also the Bloomington school comes to Terre Haute. Mm-hmm. We know what we're getting when we send our people to these schools. We require them to become paramedics within the first 5 years of their employment. So we require them. So if you get on the hiring list to become a firefighter and you know that we're going to pay you to become a paramedic, you're not going to take it on your own. And I understand if we put that out there, like I said, we discussed this many times, and I would love it for me to be that way, but I don't think we'll get the quality of people.
Is it the quality? I mean, is it the standard for a paramedic pretty much the same statewide, nationwide? I know they have standards when it comes to, you know, Norm's been up here before talking about different standards that they have with the fire department throughout the country. They don't have the same standards when it comes to paramedics.
When it comes to Indiana sets the standards when it comes to the paramedic training throughout nationwide. If you become a paramedic in the state of Indiana, you can test to be nationally certified. When you become that paramedic, you're automatically there.
Okay.
Now, there's two states that you have to take an extra class because of the reptiles. In those states, I believe Florida and Colorado is one of those. But the training you get in Indiana when you go to paramedic school is the top training in the country.
Okay. Whether it's at Ivy Tech or anywhere else?
Whether it's Ivy Tech or anything, they all have the same.
Okay. I just think that, I mean, I know that's a decision that the mayor will end up making with your recommendation, but I just think that's something that we may need to look at. Because when you look on these shifts, it looks like 348 of the shifts were because of paramedic classes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, it's a big chunk of that overtime.
Right. I mean, because if you think about it, if someone's going to go work for, you know, Earl at Sack Rider, I'm sure they don't pay for the accounting classes to go there. It's something that they had to do prior.
Right, right. And sometimes when people come on here as a medic, they don't want to be a firefighter.
Right.
So when we hire people, most of them are coming from the volunteer agencies. They know what it takes to be a firefighter, and then we send them into paramedic school, and then they love it. They know what they have to do when they get on here. But, yeah, that's a great discussion. It's been discussed many, many times. We're just not there yet.
Okay. And what is Wellness Days?
Wellness Days. Wellness Days was created several years ago, prior to me, that it enticed people to come to work. They receive, if they're given 4 wellness days, and if they do not use those 4 wellness days within a year, they receive a $1,200 bonus, $300 a day.
Okay.
That's a wellness day.
Okay. And were there any changes made to the contract this year to do anything with any of the sick days or anything, sick time or wellness days?
The union administration will not touch that. We have the best sick policy in the country.
Okay.
I've had other chiefs reach out to me about the sick policy, what we're doing, and when they see our sick policy, they don't want to touch it.
Okay, and I know it's always been a discussion every year. You talk that we have this discussion, and there's always that fine line of it's cheaper to pay overtime than it is to hire people. Do you feel like we need to hire any more people for the department?
close your ears, Mayor. Absolutely, I believe that we need to hire people.
Okay.
Mr. Duncan sat right there in that seat where Councilwoman Oller is and said many times when he was on the council, it's cheaper to pay overtime than it is to hire. But when you continue to pay overtime, 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 people get burnt out, and it can cause injuries.
Well, I hate it because, you know, I know a lot of people refer to Gateway, and they look at some of the salaries that some of the firemen and women are making, and they don't realize that a lot of those people are spending day in and day night in the firehouses. So how many more people do you think we need to hire? And you can close your ears, Mayor, it sounds like.
The mayor and I just had this discussion actually a couple of days ago about hiring. We're at 148 now. That is people on the job. That doesn't mean that they're all in the firehouse, but that's people on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see us hire at least 12.
Okay. And is the merit list 1 year or 2 years?
It's a two-year list.
Would it help if this council or the next council reduces that to 1 year?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No.
And last question I have is, well, I know that
I don't believe we can do that. Since the police department went to their own merit system, I don't believe that we can go to a 1 year like they did.
Okay.
Theirs is separate from ours.
Okay.
I think ours has to be a 2 year.
Okay. All right. And then with the number of people, I remember when we did the SAFER grant, we always talked about how we were going to have people retiring and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have more people retire next year. Do you know how many?
Seven.
Okay. How many did you have retire this year?
We had eight retire.
Okay.
And, of course, you know we have one firefighter that's off work.
So I don't remember what the budget was for next year on overtime. Do you remember what it is?
$750,000. Okay. We did increase it.
Okay. And then the mayor, this is probably for you, with regards to it looks like we're taking a lot of this transfer out of the controller's department, and we had just talked about how they were short-staffed, and this is the first time we've had to take it from another department. What would we have done if they were fully staffed in the controller's department?
We could pull it from somewhere else. Okay.
Other
areas. We could have got that money.
Okay. All right. I yield. Thanks for your patience, guys.
And I want to add on what the mayor said. I pride myself by being able to work within my budget. This is the first time, like you said, I had to go outside my budget, and I hated to come to you to do this tonight.
Well,
and it has nothing to do with the overtime or anything like that. It's just that this is the first time in my 12 years as chief I had to go outside my budget.
And these questions that I asked is just so, Alex, hopefully you're taking some notes on this that we can educate the public, because I don't think there's anybody up here that is at least I'm not, in favor of closing a firehouse, because I don't think anybody up here should be dictating on which firehouse should be closed. So I just think we need to educate the public a little bit more, and I am an advocate of maybe doing something with the paramedic class, but, you know, overtime is part of the game. I yield.
Thank you.
Councilperson Oller?
Yeah, I have just a couple of questions. I think Councilman Nasser touched on some of them. I also had more questions on this than I did the chickens. Currently, we're at 148 firefighters. Is that correct? I know we talked to, I don't know, months, years ago, about the magic number. What did we, to be fully staffed, what's that magic number?
What is that magic number? Everybody has a different number. I again, Mayor, close your ears. I believe it to be 155.
Okay.
And I threw that number 12 out there because I have two more firefighters return in January.
Okay. And then eight to retire at the end of next year.
Eight total next year.
Okay. I understand, and I'm not for closing firehouses. I never have been. That happened a few years ago, and a few of them happened to be around my district, and that's one thing I'm not in favor of. I want to thank your staff for putting this together. One thing I do ask from here on out, and with any department, I would have liked to have this before it went out to the Tribune Star.
I didn't give that to the Tribune Star.
I understand. But when it hits the Tribune Star, a lot of people don't realize we start getting calls And all we know is what was brought to us in a resolution and what we're reading in the paper. So from it would have been nice to have something in my hand to be able to answer the phone call. So.
I have not talked to the Tribune.
No, I received a call from Alec, and we talked on the phone. But that, what I passed out to you, has not seen other eyes other than the mayor.
And this is nice to have. And that's just a comment that I was making, that this would have been nice to have, because I know as soon as the paper went out, I hadn't even had a chance to read it yet, and my phone was ringing.
And we basically talked about, you know, the overtime. I think it was put in there where it was coming from, which was out of my hands. That was, and I appreciate Leslie for finding me. And that's what I did. I called Leslie. I said, hey, I need help. Can you find me $400,000? But as far as that, no, that was for yours and the mayor's eyes.
I just know that I, and along with, I've talked to a few others, we just feel like sometimes we kind of get left in the dark, and we're just depending on a resolution, and then we read it in the paper, and then I'm left to answer questions. I know I touched on this, I think, with the jail, and this kind of hit me kind of like that with my phone blowing up, and I was like, I have no question. I have the only answers I have is what was in a resolution and what was I was reading in the paper. So I appreciate this, and thank you for giving it to us.
Welcome.
I yield.
Councilperson Elliott.
Okay. Chief, I want to understand the math related to the personnel a little better. It's 36 personnel to staff the firehouses each day.
Yes.
So does that mean it's 144 people to do that, or without getting into much overtime, four times that, or what's the number? How many shifts are they expected to work in a year's time?
In a year's time, I don't know if that's on there or not. I believe it was on one of those pages, the shifts. I'm not a math person, but...
Let's move on then. You said there's 148 today.
We're at 148. That includes administrative staff.
Okay. So how many of those folks, how many are on the administrative staff?
We have 12.
Okay. So that means we have 136.
To fill the fire stations.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then of that, some of those are not working?
Some of those are off, yes.
Okay. So what's the number that should be on the staff that should be able-bodied to work to cover these shifts at a minimal amount of overtime?
Okay. Well, let's go house by house. Station 2 requires
three. No, but I mean,
you're asking what it's going to take to fill a shift, correct? Am I following you?
The total staff, the total number of staff to fill not only one day, but all the days throughout the year.
Throughout the year?
With the proper number.
That's going to take me a little bit of time to get you that kind of a number.
Pardon?
That's going to take me a little bit of time to get you that number. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Well, if we got 148 today.
Right.
And we got seven that are going to retire next year.
Yes.
That's 141.
Yes.
And we add 12.
Yes.
That's 153. That's already too short of the 155.
Some right. Have some overtime versus a lot.
We're always going to have overtime, just the way that our shift works. We're always going to have overtime, no matter what, whether we have people or not. It's just the way our shift works. There's overtime always included in our schedule.
All right, but I'm just saying, at 153 looks like it's the number that we're going to have. Best case, highest number, 153, at the end of 2020.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you follow me? 148 minus 7 plus 12 is only 153. That's not 155.
I was asked what the magic number is, and that would be
my... So when did the last training class come on?
When did it come on?
Yeah.
They were hired in January.
No, I mean the one before.
The one before that?
There was one this past January?
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And how many was that?
That was, remember what that was, 8, 10?
Remember we had one that left.
Yes.
Yeah. So 9?
No.
Okay.
Well, we ended up with 9 at the end of that.
Okay. Well, we need to we need to design some sort of monthly report about the number of personnel and the changes in a month so that we've got some idea of what's going on.
We can do that.
I mean, I saw the amount of overtime in the August financial statement, which is still the most recent financial statement we have, and I mean, it was a big number, but mm-hmm. What can I do about it? Which begs the question is, what can we do about this, appropriation? If we, if we vote no, who's gonna be after us if we don't approve it? I got an email from a constituent today, and he asked me to explain it to him, and he also asked me to oppose it. So my response was, come to the meeting tonight. I don't know if he's here. I don't think so. And read the paper tomorrow. And then I'll get back to him with what I can based upon whatever additional information I learned today. And it's just not a pleasant email to get. Yeah, it's not going to be a pleasant one to respond to.
And it's never pleasant coming to see y'all about the overtime.
I can scan this and send it to him, but that won't help him. I don't think so. I mean, that's just where we are.
Yeah, and I understand you're a numbers guy, and I appreciate that. I will get you some numbers. I will get you numbers on what it takes to staff our house, our stations per day. I will get you numbers what it will take to backfill.
I'll get on your calendar sometime, and we can talk about it first before you do any work. I don't want you to do something that I don't need. But if we talk about it and answer a few questions, then I think you'll know a little better what to try to put together. So right. I'll send you an email with some availability here.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. Forward to it.
Thank you.
Anybody else on council? I have a couple questions, but I want to give everybody else the opportunity. Chief, at what point in the year did you realize that you were going to need to come in and get additional funds to cover your overtime?
Probably halfway through the year.
Well, I would just make the suggestion that if that's going to happen, that you clue us in on it earlier. I think it's stunning to the, and I know it's hard to understand, it's hard for me to understand, and I think it's even harder for the public to understand. That we really are at a point now where there's nothing else we can do. It's been spent. I assume this money's been spent. People
yes.
have been paid, so this money's been spent.
Yes.
And so I think if when you start to see yourself, I would be less critical, and this would go for any department in city government, not just the fire department, that when you realize you're in a position like this where you're going to have to come at the end of the year and ask for a resolution or a transfer or an appropriation that's way outside your budget, that I'm going to look at that askance, and I'm going to look at that in a much more negative way than if you would come to us earlier on and say, I want to give you a heads up on this. And maybe part of it is just to be doing a report to us on a regular basis so that we know that. But and I know you have a very intricate contract to work with. I appreciate that, but it is just really stunning to me to get to at the end of the year have anyone from any department come forward and say a six-digit number needs to be dealt with here, and it's already been spent. So I would just ask that not happen again.
Well, hopefully it won't happen again. With my overtime budget increase next year, I hope that I won't have to come before you to appropriate, resolute any additional money. Mm-hmm. But this year I had to. And I understand not waiting till the end of the year, but I waited till the end of the year on purpose.
I just think, this year apparently you were able to – not you, I understand that you went to Leslie and the mayor for assistance with this, but as a city, we were able to cobble together funds to cover this. But what if we hadn't? What if there hadn't been funds there left over in other accounts? So, again, I know this isn't just you, that this was an overall administrative decision to do it in this way. But I, for one, would like to have, anytime the city is getting into a difficult situation with any expenditure that, because there very well could be others that would be, there's good reasons for it. It's not that there might not be a justifiable reason for it, but I'd like to know about it before we're approving something that's already been spent. So, yes.
Yeah, I would expect, based upon the way the numbers are, and, you know, we're going to have it in the early part of the 2020. I mean, I don't see how you can avoid it. Mm-hmm. You know, if your staffing number's down, and I don't know how many months it takes before this group's trained and they can come on and fill those positions. It
takes about 6 months.
Mid-year is our goal, so half a year.
So, you know, we'll see it the early part of the year. We'll see it build up, and then it should slow down the latter part of the year.
My goal is to come at this time next year, come to this podium, and wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and not ask to appropriate money for overtime. That's my goal.
I hope you reach it.
Thank you.
Well, we'll quit punching at you, Jeff. Madam President, if there's no other questions or comments, I make a motion that we approve, Resolution 18-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Nation that we approve Resolution 18-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
And I do wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And Councilman Nassar, Councilman Morris, thank you for your years of service on the council. I know it's just 4 years, and Don, yours been many years.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, yeah. Appreciate it.
Next item of business.
Resolution 20-2019, transfer of $21,330.33 in the legal department budget.
Madam President, Council, Eddie Felling, City Attorney. I apologize for even having to do this, but I am proud to say this is the first time I've had to be before the council in my tenure here regarding a transfer of funds. I'll be brief, but I would like for you to all understand the budgeting process for the legal department. This is approximately $20,000 going into our settlements account. Settlements come out of the legal budget, no matter what department it is across the entire city. To give you a general idea, our typical deductible amount for insurance for any one particular case is $25,000. So this is less than just hitting one maximum deductible. And, for example, all of the vehicles, if a truck would sideswipe a police vehicle, would sideswipe another vehicle, that would come out of the legal department settlement budget. So this year, unfortunately, we did have additional claims that came in. We had one large one that came in towards the end of the year, and that's why we're requesting that this money be moved around. The primary portion of this comes out of our Series 100. That's based, and we're able to do that because of salary ordinances coming in under, or the actual salaries for individuals coming in lower than what the budgeted amount is. So we were able to keep a little buffer in there to help incentivize individuals in my office.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 20, 2019? Council?
Madam President, mm-hmm. If there are no questions, I move for approval of Resolution Number 20, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Garrison that we approve Resolution 20, 2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item of business.
Resolution 21, 2019, authorizing a temporary loan from the Terre Haute Sanitary District Operating Fund to the Terre Haute Sanitary District Bond Fund and the extension of a current temporary loan.
Madam President, members of the Council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I'll refer you to that financial-related update that I gave you, the last bullet in there, number five. So I'll kind of walk you through this and remind you why we have to do this. So we'll get the fall distribution of sanitary district tax dollars here later this month from the county. We will get our allocation of funds. And so when that comes in, we'll be $500,000 short to make the bond payment on January 1st, okay, because of the tax cap credits is why. And we're losing about $2 million a year in the sanitary fund because of property tax caps. So a couple of years ago, Baker Tilly, then Umbaugh, working with our staff, figured out a way to make sure we ensure that we get the maximum levy in the following year. So I'll walk you through this. We'll borrow $500,000 from the wastewater treatment plant this month and make the bond payment on January 1st. And then next June, we'll get our spring distribution of sanitary district property tax money, and we'll pay back the loans for 2019 so that we have a zero. We'll use every penny that's in that fund so there'll be a zero balance in the fund, okay? Then when we start submitting our information for our budget, then we will, when they look back and they look at the cash balances on June 30th, is how they, that's part of their determination to approve your budget, set your tax levy, and those things for the following year. So we take it down to zero so that we can ensure then in 2021 that we get the maximum levy, so we get the maximum amount of property tax dollars. So then in June, as I said, we'll receive that, take it down to zero, and then that will ensure we get the maximum levy in 2021. Then in July, the next month, we'll start the new temporary loan process over again. That will then carry us in to prepare us for 2022. And we'll follow the same cycle. And I'm Paige came and did this presentation with you guys a couple of years ago and explained why we have to do this. If we don't do this, we'll have to use wastewater funds to make up the difference, and we don't want to do that. We want to use property tax dollars to cover as much of those bond payments as we possibly can. And this allows us to do that. It provides a vehicle for us to get the maximum levy.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 21? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
If there's no other questions or comments, I make a motion we approve Resolution 21-2019.
Second. Been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Elliott that we approve Resolution 21-2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Next item of business.
Madam President.
Resolution 22-2019, transfer of $17,500 in the Environmental Protection Division budget. I can't speak.
I'm getting hungry. I guess I'm in a hurry.
Go ahead.
Madam President, members of the council, Resolution 22 is a transfer within the general fund. We have part-time employees in EPD, Environmental Protection Department, who do the mowing of the city lots. And the $17,500 needs to be transferred into the part-time employees, and as you can see above, some's from my department. The controller's office is 05, 06 is the IT department, and 0010 is the engineering office. The edit fund has a mowing line item that actually pays for this. So what we do, we invoice, EPD invoices the edit fund, and then they receipt back the reimbursement into the general fund. So the money is received in the general fund, and this is just, usually we would appropriate it into the line item, but I had other line items that I could just do a transfer and didn't need to appropriate. So this has to do with the mowing staff. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 22? Council?
Madam President?
Yes.
I move approval of Resolution 22-2019 as presented.
Second.
Been moved by Councilperson Garrison and seconded by Councilperson Nation that we approve Resolution 22-2019. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved.
Thank you.
Next item of business.
Resolution 23-2019, transfer of $4,300 in the city clerk's office budget. Hi.
Hi.
That would be me. We are transferring money because we paid for a few extra items. One of them is window tinting in the courtroom and my offices, the judge's offices, and the front door. And there was a few extra items that we needed to pay for. So that's what the transfer's for. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 23? Council.
Madam President?
Yes.
I was wondering why the curtains came down. Window
so there's a story behind that.
Please tell us.
Don's having so much fun helping me on this. The gentleman, the company that tinted the windows took the drapes down, and I did not realize it had been so many years, if not a couple decades, since anything had been done. Dust flew everywhere? Yeah.
It was on.
One of the sets of drapery had disintegrated, and so we're trying to figure out if it's worth putting them back up. They're in the bags over here. If anybody wants to come help, we're trying to find a tall ladder or scaffold.
Well, I'm sure it's a problem during the day in here, but at night it's nice to see the sunset. So
it is.
Anyone else?
Madam President.
Yes.
If there is no further discussion, I move for approval of resolution number 23-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation and seconded by Councilperson Morris that we approve resolution 23-2019. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Next item of business.
Resolution 24-2019, transfer of $750 in the city court budget. The judge could not be here tonight, so I said that I would cover for him. Long story short, during court sessions, if we have to have an interpreter, the court pays for that. And we had quite a few pretrial conferences and situations like that where we had to call an interpreter, whether it's sign language, Spanish, or other languages. So they needed additional money in there to cover all of those expenses.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on Resolution 24? Council?
Madam President,
yes.
There's no further discussion. I move we approve Resolution 24-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Elliott and seconded by Councilperson DeBone that we approve Resolution 24-2019. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so approved. Resolution 25-2019.
Everybody wants my job today. Resolution 25-2019, supporting the filing of an application by Spectacle Jack, LLC, to the Indiana Gaming Commission to receive a license to operate an inland casino.
Mr. Kessler, thank you for your patience. Being the last item on our agenda.
My pleasure. Thank you, Madam President, members of the council. My name is John Keeler. I'm the Vice President and General Counsel of Spectacle Entertainment and Spectacle Jack. The resolution, and I want to thank Councilman Nassar for introducing it, endorses, or is the voice of this council, endorsing Spectacle Jack as the applicant to receive the Inland Terre Haute Casino license. And perhaps just a little bit of background, and then I know it's late, and I'm going to be very brief. Please feel free to answer any questions that you might have. But Spectacle Jack was formed for the sole purpose of competing for the Terre Haute license. We worked hand in glove with the mayor, the chamber, a number of government and private leaders and citizens from Terre Haute during the last legislative session. And we were successful in passing House Enrolled Act 1015. Part of 1015 provided that if the extra Gary license was going to come to Terre Haute, which it looks like that's going to happen, and the referendum was successful, which, as you know, it was, then the Gaming Commission would consider a number of factors in deciding which applicant for that license should receive it. Fortunately for Spectacle Jack, the deadline for submitting applications came and went on December 2nd. We were the only application for the Terre Haute license. One of the criteria that the Gaming Commission is to consider in House Enrolled Act 1015 is whether or not the legislative body of the municipality where the casino is going to be located issues a resolution of support. It's not a requirement. It's just a nice thing that the law says that the Gaming Commission may consider. So that's why we're here today. It's sort of icing on the cake in our situation, I think, because there's only one applicant. I can just tell you that the process is a little uncertain from here. The Gaming Commission has indicated that they will probably address this matter sometime in the first quarter of 2020. So with that,
I'd be happy to answer any questions and respectfully request that you adopt the resolution.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to speak?
Madam President, members of the council, I would just rise in support of this. You know, we've put a lot of effort into this so far, and I think this will go a long way towards showing that support from the council at the legislative level, at the governor's office level, with the gaming commission, with everybody. And so I would ask your unanimous support on this, because I think it will have very positive repercussions for us to do that as a community. And so I'm just asking for that support to help us get that as another piece of this puzzle here in order to get this done. Thank you.
Thank you. So anyone from the public who'd like to speak on Resolution 25?
And I thought I was going to go home without saying another word. Dang it. Dang it. My problem is, and I hope your problem is, what he said when he first spoke. One application. Not two, not three, not four. One. So, as a citizen, taxpayer, lifelong citizen, and knowing, as I did as a child, the problems we had with gambling when I was a child, and I lived through it, and I saw that a bunch of people rose up and made gambling go away. Good or bad, I don't care. We're talking about now. Have things changed in the last 40 years? And the first thing I hear when I'm sitting here, a citizen, is that a casino has been allowed to be sold. We're going to have a casino in Terre Haute. And only one company shows up to bid on it. I'm sorry, but it doesn't take much to ask why. So my question to the gentleman, I'd like to hear the names of some very respectable people in Terre Haute, Indiana, who are on this committee that's going to set this casino up, so that I know that there's at least a chance that it'll be not just legal, but fair. Thank you.
I just might respond, Mr. Hyde, that I think that's what the Gaming Commission will be looking at. That's their job to decide that.
And I'd just like to add, they're going to also, the Gaming Commission, possibly have a public discussion at the first quarter of the year, as what the newspaper had mentioned. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, they will have to approve the license at a public meeting.
Okay.
What that process will be, I don't know.
Okay.
At a recent conference, the executive director intimated that that the Gaming Commission may come to Terre Haute.
Right.
To make that decision.
Council, anyone else? Yes.
There's no further questions. I ask that we approve resolution number 25-2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Morris and seconded by Councilperson Nassar that we approve resolution 25-2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It is approved. I'd like to wish everyone happy holidays and a happy new year. We won't be back here until January 2nd. But we appreciate your attendance tonight.
Move to adjourn.
Second. It's been moved by Councilperson Nassar and seconded by Councilperson Nation. We adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.